ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all the Vaishnavas who are present here today. It's an honor to be here with you. This is not our place, it's Krishna's place. We feel very fortunate, all of us who can come here regularly and render some humble service. And one of the most important services in this place is to talk about Krishna and his instructions. By hearing, one can navigate one's way through the treacherous nature of this world. And it is treacherous. All around us, there are bloody disasters. And there are dangerous situations around every corner. I hate to be blunt, but it's true. As Prabhupada puts it in his introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, we're being stalked by a tigress of nations. At any time, we can be asked to leave this world, in fact. However, there's a way in which I overlook these things and try to make a permanent settlement in this world. In the process of making myself comfortable in this world, I get myself educated and try to find the best possible situation that I can. Or is anybody doing the opposite, trying to find the worst possible? Anyone here? Everyone tries to get the best deal, the best place, wherever they can stay. And everybody in this world has a resume. Resume means a list of what they've done in the past, the things that they've worked on, the kind of education they have, the kind of community service they've done. In fact, if we look back over many lifetimes, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, we've moved from one life to the next since a time immemorial, and we've racked up quite a resume over time. I don't know what it would look like, but you'd probably need a few trucks to bring it in. What's your resume look like over a billion lifetimes? Let's see what you got in there, son. Nope, that's not going to work. So tonight we're going to talk about making your masterpiece resume, rewriting your resume so that you can get the ultimate interview. And what is that ultimate interview? It is coming to see Krishna face to face. It's coming back to our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the goal of life. Prema Pumarto Mahan. This is the ultimate goal, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for every living entity, is to reawaken that loving relationship that we have eternally with Krishna, but which is now obscured because of my association with the modes of material nature. And Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that because of my association with matter, may I have a Bhagavad Gita? In this material world, let's look at the verse 1321 and 13, the verses 1321 and 1322. These are such profound verses that when I read them out loud in this room, we're going to feel electrified. And you may experience some kind of emotions you've never felt before when you hear these verses, so please prepare yourselves. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, if your neighbor gets a little woozy or wobbly after hearing these verses, please prop them up. From Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, we meant to do that. This is part of our show. 13th chapter, Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. Text number 21, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking, says, Karya karna kartritve hetu prakriti uchite purusha sukhatu kanam bhoktritve hetur uchite. Here's the translation. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments of this world. In the next verse, Krishna says, the living entity in the material world thus follows his way, the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. So this good and evil, this have to do with our resume. When you have a bad resume, you get a bad job. And when your resume is a little bit better, then you can get a little better job. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared these good and bad jobs that we get in the material world to the, and I hate to bring this term up, but it's something Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote, so it's good. He said it's like the dunking board, which was recently reintroduced by the Bush administration, called waterboarding. It was going on hundreds of thousands of years ago. They would take somebody and they would put them on a board and they'd dunk them underwater, and then when they were about to run out of breath, they'd lift them up for a moment. And then they go, take a gasp of water, but then they put them back under it again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about this. And he said, this is the good and bad in this material world. What's the good? When you get to come up. That's the good job that you get here. And what's the bad? Back down underwater. You like either of them? Not very much. So this is the idea. Sadasad yoni janmasu. We're getting these seemingly good and bad situations in the material world, but they're both bad for us because our resume isn't good. We don't have the right resume. We don't have the right things on a resume that can get us the ultimate interview. So let me tell you a little bit more in general about resumes. Anybody here made one before? Two people only? Three or four? I'm proud to say I've never made a resume. That may sound irresponsible, but I never had a job. Okay, let's see. Rockport Institute. This is from the Rockport Institute, who are supposedly the world's foremost experts in preparing people for writing the perfect resume. They advertise, write a resume that generates results. Would we all like results from our resume? Our ultimate masterpiece resume? Yes. Okay. Here's what they say. The number one purpose of a resume. The resume is a tool with one specific purpose, to win an interview. If it doesn't, it isn't an effective resume. Do you agree with that? It's got to catch somebody's attention, right? Interview is from French. It means to see each other, a meeting of people face to face. So your resume has to get you noticed by the right people, the people you want to notice you, right? So this is parallel with our mode of performing devotional service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't try to see God, but try to work in such a way that he'll want to see you. It means you got to build up your resume. You have to have a masterpiece resume for Krishna to go through the files and say, oh, okay, who's this guy over here? I think I'll talk to her. The right resume. So let's talk a little bit about, a little more about, what are some of the reasons people write resumes according to the Rockport Institute. The first reason they give is to pass the employer's screening process. Screening process, this entire material world, according to the purport Srila Prabhupada gives in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth canto, in relationships to Daksha's prayers to the Lord. When Daksha wanted to do his service better, he prayed, and Lord Narayan appeared and blessed him that he could improve his service. And in the process, he congratulated Daksha, because what was Daksha's work? Increasing population. because it was the beginning of the universe and they needed more living entities. And there's a way in which Lord Narayan glorifies him, because the reason that Daksha was manifesting so many living entities in the world was so that they would have an opportunity to become purified and go back to Godhead, because that's the entire scheme of the material world. So Lord Narayan noticed that and he said, "You're doing a nice job. You're bringing living entities into this material world." Of course, in Los Angeles once, some devotees were saying to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, if you tell everyone to become brahmacharis, then there'll be no more children." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, we want to stop this." Of course, things go on as they go on. So this material world is a screening process. There's a way in which Mahavishnu is exhaling, and out of his compassion, he's manifesting all these worlds. This is described in the Sri Brahma Samhita. Yasyai kanishvasita kalamatavalam ya jivanti loma vilaja jagadananata Vishnur mahansa iha yasya kala vishesho govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. The great Mahavishnu is exhaling, and in his one exhalation, 311 trillion years go by. That's the entire manifestation of the material world. And why is he doing it? He's breathing out to give an opportunity to everybody to plump up their resume, to get ready for the big interview. And therefore, when we see this material world as the plan of Mahavishnu, and we see it in such big terms that the world's going on as an act of mercy so that the living entities in this world can take the highest opportunity to improve themselves, then it becomes an exhilarating experience. And also, whatever kinds of obstacles come our way are part of the screening process. This is mentioned by Lord Brahma when he says, "Tate na anukampam sumikshamano bhunjana eva atma kritam vibhakam hridvagvapurvir vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak." He's saying that for a person on the spiritual path, the obstacles that come, the sufferings, the way in which the world moves against our will, is that possible? Ha ha ha. Ouch! It moves against our will strong and fast. Sometimes it moves against our will subtly and slowly, and other times it moves really fast. That's called a calamity. It's like, I didn't want that to happen, but it all comes down on you right now. All of those, the person who has this vision that the world has a higher purpose can somehow or other process those things in such a way that it purifies him or her. So he says, "Tate anukampam." The devotee sees this world ultimately as a favorable place because it's purifying me of my tendency to want to stay here. That's one thing. And that whenever the obstacles come, that person takes it as a kind of blessing, that I'm getting purified, and I'm also burning off all my past reactions to previous degraded activities. And then the verse goes on to say that that person somehow or other continues with body, mind, and words serving Krishna, doesn't give up. And then comes the last line of the verse, which will astound everybody here. And that is that that person becomes eligible to go back to Godhead. Everyone wants to know, what's the eligibility to go back to Godhead? Do you just have to join the church? Do you just have to get initiated? Do you just have to what? You just have to be in this mentality, and that is, whatever comes to me is Krishna's mercy, and I accept it as such, and I tolerate it as such, and I go on serving no matter what. And that person becomes the inheritor of the kingdom of God. That's what'll get you an interview. That goes on your resume, that you tolerated the sufferings of this material world. You went on with your service, no matter what happened. That's what you need in your resume. That's a masterpiece resume. And we see that devotees who go on serving, even if their service doesn't seem at the time to be significant, when it comes to light over many years, that such and such went on despite the many challenges that he or she encountered throughout his or her life, that person comes to light as a glorious devotee. So this is a screening process, and you need this on your resume, on the masterpiece resume that you're building in this life. You have to go through the screening. And if you don't pass the screening process, it's going on your resume. The next point that the Rockport Institute makes about resumes is that it gives basic facts which might favorably influence the employer. So let me ask you all now, what facts about your life might favorably influence Krishna to notice you? Let's say, okay, yeah, let's see what you got.
You love his devotees?
That you love his devotees, okay? Yes?
That we're all here trying to learn how to increase our Sankirtan abilities?
That's arguably, and I'll bring this point up, very true, according to the Shastra. Yes. What things are favorable on your resume, on your masterpiece resume, that you're going to show to Krishna? Yes.
Humility.
Humility, that is also definitely one of the important points. And we can bring that from the Bhagavad Gita also. These are powerful. These are things that we can put on our resume. Yes? Yes, yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay, yes. What else?
An absence of other desires besides pleasing Krishna.
An absence of other desires besides pleasing Krishna. That can go in your resume. Okay, what else?
Following the four regulative principles in Kali Yuga.
Following the four regulative principles in Kali Yuga. That'll go on your resume. Yes.
Sincere attitude.
A sincere attitude. Can you unpack that? What do you mean by that? Sincere about what?
In doing your services.
Sincere service. Okay, good. Two more.
Chanting your rounds throughout your life every
chanting
day.
Chanting your rounds. You keep your vow to chant Hare Krishna throughout your lifetime. A couple more. Oh, over here. Yes. Yeah, very good.
Sincerity and depending on Krishna for the result.
Depending on Krishna. This is one of the aspects of the surrender process which is mentioned by Rupa Goswami. He says that depending on Krishna and considering Krishna as one's protector, these are two of the most important aspects in the surrender process. So, okay, last one. This is getting to be a pretty thick resume, right?
Pleasing the spiritual master.
Pleasing the spiritual master. Yes, we can justify that. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadan nagati kutopi dhyayam stuvam stasya yasya stri sandhyam vande guru shri charanar vindam srimad gurur ashtakam etaruchar brahme mahurte patita prayatnat yastena vrindavananata sakshat sevaiva labhya janashonte eva. That's the last verse in the Guravashtakam that we don't sing. But that verse says if you honor these verses every morning and sing them out loud, you get the great gift of going back home, back to Godhead. That goes on your resume too. If you just show up, that's helpful on your resume, isn't it? Such and such showed up. There was a devotee who was holding some kind of world record. Well, I know in Denver, Colorado, isn't Mother Nidra holding the world record for right now for Mangalartiks attended? actually doing the Mangalartik herself? That goes on your resume? Yes? What else? Jagarini.
How about cleanliness, austerity, truthfulness, and mercy? Austerity being the austerity of the age, Harinam.
Yes, that goes on your resume. There's a lot we can pad our resume. Well, it's not padding, that's a bad term. We can pack our resume, not pad, but pack our resume. So the basic facts which might favorably influence the employers. So we've heard about a few of them. Let's hear directly from Krishna in the chapter in which he talks about building your resume. Which chapter is that? It's 19, I think. Yeah, there it is. How to build a resume. Okay, chapter 12. Yes, Madhukar, you are absolutely correct. Here are a few items that Krishna mentions, and hearing them is very sweet to the ear, because mystically, by hearing these qualities from the Shastra, one begins to imbibe them. This word imbibe means to drink. So drink it in through your ears, and there's a mystical way in which hearing about these qualities helps you to actually develop them. Of course, you have them, but others of us can appreciate how this works. Text number 13 and 14 in the 12th chapter. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, and who is free from false ego, is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Anyone that particularly stuck out for you? Non-envious. We did a whole class about how to become free from envy. Remember? You were very eager to hear that class. But, you know, we all are, because biting envy, green with envy, it's never portrayed in a favorable light, envy. It's the inability to tolerate the eminence of another. What if I were joyful when I saw the eminence of others? What if that made my heart sing? I meet devotees oftentimes who are non-envious, and they glorify other devotees. And then I suddenly realize what great souls they are, because they have that capacity to actually see the good in others and glorify them. The natural default in this mature world is to criticize others, because it grows from envy that's naturally within the heart of every living entity. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Icha dvesha sumutena dvandva mohena bharata. Sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. He said it's a natural tendency in this material world to be envious of others, to see the difference rather than the connection or the unifying factor in appreciating. So this non-envious nature, this is something that can go into your resume. Haridas Thakur, who was the notable Harinam Acharya, when he was punished by the Muslim government for chanting Hare Krishna, which happens. Devotees in Russia were tortured and killed for chanting Hare Krishna. Some people can't tolerate when someone's glorifying God. He was begging that the Lord would forgive them as they were beating him. He was so unenvious of them. Any other quality you heard in this that particularly struck you? What is it? Being tolerant. And this is the quality that nobody can fake. You can't fake tolerance. Other things you can fake sometimes, but tolerance comes from the ability to see that I'm not my body, and that things come and go. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, learn to tolerate. This is the greatest wealth. And on one's resume, it is especially attractive. Tolerance. This person was tolerant. What kind of things can you be tolerant of in this world? Bad drivers. That is one of the hardest things. It sounds insignificant, but when somebody doesn't turn their turn signal on, I had this is one issue I've had for years. They don't turn their turn signal because I always put mine on. Or do I? And this is how I overcame it, because I realized maybe there was one time I didn't turn my turn signal. And maybe that's the time this person is experiencing in front of me. I began a mantra on the freeway. When anybody was obnoxious or risked the life and limb of everybody in our car when driving by, I had a mantra. Nirkula can confirm this. I'd say, we forgive you. Nirkula? Confirmed. Just by each time what happened, instead of uttering a explication or letting one's torturing oneself by letting one's blood pressure go up. Why? I just said, I forgive you. And suddenly I felt peaceful. Practicing tolerance in this world. Krishna's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinad api sunichena, toror api suhishnuna, amanina amanadena, kirtaniya sadhari. He said, practice being humble. He said, be ready to give all respects to others and don't expect anything in return. That's hard. If you can get that on your resume, even for half a day, that's pretty good. Dainiti.
I like always satisfied.
Dainiti Prabhu, for the record, he said he likes always satisfied. Yes, this is such an interesting point about satisfaction. It's an austerity mentioned by Krishna in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Satisfaction is an austerity of the mind. Are you satisfied? What does it take to be satisfied? Just calm down and see that everything's, you've got everything you need. You don't need anything more, even though the mind is like a little baby and saying, I want something else. I don't like this. Just be satisfied. This is a great austerity, and it looks great on your masterpiece resume. Who else had their hand up? Yes. Where are our microphones? Are they going around still? Okay.
Prabhu already said that it's the devotional service with determination. Engaged in devotional service with determination.
Engage in devotional service with determination. Yes. With determination. What does it take to be determined in your devotional service? That's a real question. Name three things it takes to be determined in your devotional service. Yes. What? Faith. Well, you have to have faith. Faith means that you have the abiding belief and understanding that by performing devotional service, everything else is perfectly done. Shraddha shabde vishvas kahe sthridha nishchay krishne bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. If I do my devotional practice, everything else will be taken care of. Does Krishna say it in the Bhagavad Gita? Vedeshu yajneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pratishtam adyeti tat sarvam idam vaditva yogi param stanam upaiti chadyam. He says at the end of the eighth chapter, that if you do devotional service, you're good for everything else. You're going to get the results of sacrifices, of giving charity, of performing severe austerities, and so forth. And if you have this faith, you can be determined in devotional service, because we want something. It's not that we're dead stones, but if we understand that we get everything that we are concerned about and that will make us actually satisfied and happy by devotional service, we'll be determined for it, right? Nice point you made. One more that makes you determined in devotional service. This is coming from our internet audience.
Actually, there are three text messages.
So
Radha Venkat Prabhu from Folsom.
Radha Venkat, fantastic, yes.
He's talking about also the process for, you know, getting a good resume, and that he's quoting from Bhagavad Gita 15.5, and he says that that has all you need for your resume. How you overcome
Nirmana moha jitta sangha dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvarva mukta sukha dukkha samjar gacchantya mura param avyayam tat. Nirman, don't be the man, means don't be the man. Nirman. Nirman means be without this kind of conceit. Moha, be without illusion. Jitta sangha dosha, don't take bad association. Keep yourself away from bad association. Adhyatma nitya vritta kama, and always absorb yourself in the activities of self-realization. Dvandvarva mukta sukha dukkha samjar. Be free from the dualities of happiness and distress. Gatantya mura param avyayam tat means? If you do that, you go without obstruction to that spiritual world. Very good. Thank you, Radha Venkat. What else? Is everyone okay so far? We're building our resume. And if anybody asks you what you were doing in here afterwards, say we were in a seminar about making a resume, right? Yeah, what else?
Varshana Devi Dasi from India. She's casting She's casting a second vote for being satisfied, which is already
being
covered.
Satisfied. Yeah. That's a really good look on your resume. Okay, what else?
And Maharaj, what was the company that you said that does the resumes for us?
Rockport.
Rockport, yeah. So here's Bhakta Raphael telling us about a Rockport that we can go to. He says, Hare Krishna, dear Guru Maharaj, accept my sincere obeisances and dandavats. The way to do a good resume is to have an expert to help us. He will know what to put and what to say, so we can impress the entity who will give the interview. You are the expert I'm counting on. Hare Krishna.
I better. Thank you, Bhakti Raphael, for expanding the metaphor. That's very good, very clever. Actually, it's true that people go to a resume company or a person. There are people that advertise, let me help you with your resume. We'll make you look better. And there's a way in which this works in spiritual life. Even if your resume is terrible. That's all I got. Well, that ain't going to work. Let me help you out here, son. Step in here. Let's fix this up a little bit. What does it take to fix a resume? How do you fix somebody's resume? Well, there are certain things that are very important. One of them is that out of all the qualities that are mentioned in the Shastra, 27 qualities that distinguish one as a Vaishnava, one of them is the mood of surrender to Krishna. And according to Rupa Goswami, and this is how nice bhakti is, if you're missing the other 26 qualities, but you have that one quality, and that is, I'm surrendering to Krishna even though I'm a low-class person, even though it's hard for me to get off the floor where I am right now. But I'm determined to surrender to Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tate anukampam api chet sudaracharo pajate mamanandyabhak sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisadha. I'm starting over. Api chet sudaracharo pajate mamanandyabhak sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisaha. And that is that even if somebody is low class, if they're surrendered to me, Krishna says, you have to consider them a sadhu. And not only that, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the author Vrindavan Das Thakur says that if someone's a devotee of Lord Narayan, there may be some question about their attaining perfection, but if someone is the devotee of Lord Narayan, then there's no question. They will be successful. Because Vaishnavism means to worship the Vaishnavas. It actually means to place oneself under the care of other Vaishnavas, and that's very pleasing to Krishna, because Krishna loves the Vaishnavas. And if you happen to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, then even if your resume didn't look very good before, you can come in under this umbrella, policy, the umbrella policy. That helps your resume. Oh, you're with him. In fact, in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when speaking to the residents of Kulina Gram, said that there was a poet in this city many years ago, and he wrote a book called the Krishna, Sri Krishna Vijay, Book of Poetry. And in that book of poetry, there was a line that said, Nanda Nandana Krishna Mor Prannath, that the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna is my life and soul. According to expert pundits and kavis, it's not a very well-written book. It has sonnets in it, and sonnets have a certain number of syllables in them, and not all of them have the right number of syllables. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, based on this statement of pure devotional service, I accept everyone in the whole city as blessed. Even the dogs in Kulina Gram are blessed because of this poet who wrote this book in the city with this sentiment of pure devotional service. What to speak if somebody aligns oneself with a pure devotee of the Lord and makes it their life and soul? That permanently fixes your resume. Nice point. Thank you, Bhakti Raphael. Okay. Many more in chapter 12 that you can consult. If you take even one of these qualities and consider them carefully, you can make a whole project in your life. Another point that the Rockport Institute makes about resumes is that it provides contact information for others, how to reach you. How do you want your contact information to look? Now, some people, when they make their resume, they go and get themselves another zip code. How do you do that? How? You get another zip code by going to mailboxes, etc. Who's done this before? When you start a business, you don't want your home business, and if you live in a bad neighborhood, you certainly don't want that zip code, right? We're having, for any hearing impaired, we're having our signing. There's more people heard about making their resume and they're coming in. If you don't like the zip code you live in, you can go to mailboxes, etc., or another institution like them, and you can get yourself a P.O. box, but they give you the street address. It's not a P.O. box. I knew many people when I was in business that used, in Los Angeles area, they used to go to Beverly Hills. That was the popular zip code, or it was a prestigious zip code, and because they didn't live in Beverly Hills, they lived in some other place. They would go there and get their mail there because it showed on their card that, oh, Beverly Hills. They just went and collected their mail there. So there's adjustments to be made in your contact information. The best adjustment that Shraddha was already indicating is that you change your name. Hey, you may be Dalip Jones. And if you change your last name, especially, that's very potent, to Das or Dasi, that goes on your that looks very good on your resume. Change your name for your resume's sake. Get the other whatever it was off of there and put Das or Dasi. It goes very well for your contact information. Next is to establish, this is one of the purposes of resume, to establish you as a professional person with high standards. So the highest standards are mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And finally, they write to help you clarify your direction, qualifications, and strengths, boost your confidence, or to start the process of committing to a job or a career change. So by taking the time to look at our own resume, we can become inspired. Yes, momentarily depressed, but then inspired afterwards. If we take time to rewrite and add to our resume purposefully, deliberately, adding in those things that are especially attractive to Krishna, we are on the right track. Because our life, whether we know it or not, is open for inspection. We're in a probationary period in the human form of life. This is not the all in all. It is a probationary period in which we have the opportunity to improve ourselves. And because Krishna is very merciful, even if we are depressed, that is, even if we're held back by our previous samskaras, which may be severe, if we sincerely try to connect to the process of Krishna consciousness and take up what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, even if we can't do it completely, that goes to our credit. That goes to our credit. And it's good enough. Krishna will help us in every imaginable way. There are practical things that we can do by taking time to look at how we organize our lives. One exercise that I started recently, which really has me enlivened. This is printed on a small piece of paper. But on my wall at home, in the room where I spend most of my time, I have those very large post-it notes that you can paste against the wall. And I use them all the time now because I find that whatever is visible to me, I continually process. In fact, one of them is at the foot of my bed, and as soon as I open my eyes and look up, I can see many interesting prospects, and my mind immediately starts to work towards them. I began listing categories of things, just categories of things that I would like to do every day in order to live a complete life in Krishna consciousness. And I have a list of them right here. Should I read it? Yes. Dare I read it in public? Yes. Okay. I'm making myself very vulnerable here. So number one is to chant. Take time to chant. I wrote it down. It's deliberate. I decided I'm going to take time to chant because just by chanting, not doing anything else, the mind always wants to add something else and say, you got to do something else besides this. This is too easy. It's not so easy to sit and just chant. But all the shastras tell us this is the best way to purify the heart, to come in contact with Krishna, to attain all good qualities. And therefore, I put this as a category unto itself, chant. Give myself permission to chant every day with attention. Next is to read. I got the personal instruction from Srila Prabhupada, you must also read my books. That's what he said. When we came to meet him in his room in San Francisco, and we were introduced as a Sankirtan party, and that such and such was distributing so many books, so and so was doing this many books, and Prabhupada looked at us and he said, you must also read my books. And then he went on for some time explaining how he had written these specifically for us to read, to become purified, and go back to Godhead. And it really impressed me. And the books also brought me to Krishna consciousness. They reached out to me. They appeared at my door magically, where I was in an obscure place on the planet. And one of them was carried in by a friend of mine from high school. So I took it as divine intervention. And all the instructions say read the books. So I've developed a process called BSH, page by page, which gives me a target goal every day to read a certain number of pages. And I give myself time and the space to sit down and read those pages, no matter where I am, no matter what place I am, to finish my daily pages. And that makes a big difference in my life. Another aspect is Chad, which is chapter a day, which is to chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, just the Sanskrit of the English, but at least one chapter. The next is to study. A study is a little different than reading. Reading means you can just sit there and just associate. I feel like I'm directly associating with Prabhupada. In fact, you get more association with Prabhupada reading his books than you ever would have being on the planet at the same time he was here. Practically nobody got association with Prabhupada directly. There was only a few. And many of them made offenses. Because it's easy to do. When you come close, familiarity breeds contempt. And Prabhupada said over and over again, if you read my books, I've said everything in my books. And how did he say it? From his heart. He said these are emotional, devotional ecstasies coming out. And if you sit and just associate with Prabhupada through reading, you'll have his association. Your intelligence will become clarified. But study means that you sit down and figure out how things are connected in the Shastra. You find one thing and said, oh, this goes with that, and this goes with this. And you drill down and you look at the Nectar of Devotion and you look at the other books and you see how they're all interrelated and how they have commentaries which complement each other and so forth. Study deeply. Another is to worship. Worship is so special. We have to take time to worship every day. Now, this may sound like the day's over already, but each one of these points, you can at least do a little bit of time. At least take 5 minutes. If you start even with 1 minute for each of these categories, then you'll have a balanced, full life in Krishna consciousness. So worship means you have to offer something to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami paritamana. What kind of verse is this? Where else on the planet, in the universe, can you find a verse like this? Where Krishna, and who is Krishna? He's the Supreme Personality of God. And he said, just give me a leaf or a flower and I'll take it from you if you give it with love. That is the verse to connect to. That's the worship verse. Or, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishasti yukvaivam atmanam parayanaha. Krishna says, you can worship me, bow down to me. How good does that feel when the world's moving against you and you can barely keep your feet moving because things are coming at you so fast and you have a place to bow down before the Panchatattva, before the image of Krishna. It's very powerful. So worship, take time every day to worship, and if you can regulate your worship so every day you have this opportunity to offer Krishna a flower, a lamp, then you have this special intimate time with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pray. Say some prayer. I've built it into, at least I say one prayer a day, besides the Maha Mantra, and that is before I take rest at night. I always say the last mantra from the Sri Ishapanishad. Oh, my Lord is powerful as fire, omnipotent one. Now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. Please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all I've done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins, so there'll be no hindrance to my progress. I found that verse when I first got the Sri Ishapanishad, before I'd come to Krishna consciousness, and I grabbed onto it. I said, this is my verse. I'll just hold on to this verse. So pray. It's a prayer. And there's lots of prayers in the Shastra that you can take shelter of. Another activity is write. Every day write something. Write down what your realizations are. It helps to consolidate them. And again, Prabhupada emphasized this. Another is to practice. Practice something every day. Because the miracle of the human experience is that you can get better at anything. Someone was telling me the other day, I was at the dentist, and he was saying, hey, you know what? If you're right-handed and you learn to write with your left hand, you won't get Alzheimer's. And I said, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know when I broke my right arm many years ago, and I had a big cast on my arm, I started writing with my left hand, and at first no one could read it, but after a couple of weeks I said, that's pretty good. You're in, you know. And I've noticed that if you take time every day to do some kind of practice, with especially with the hand-mind coordination, learn some coordination exercise, practice something over and over again so you can have the experience of doing the discipline so that you get better at something. It encourages you in all parts of your life. And there are many devotional things that you can practice, like music. Memorize. Take time to memorize something in Krishna consciousness, whether it's one line in English or a shloka in Sanskrit, but memorize it. And how do you do that? Well, there's lots of information on my website. There's a whole section about how to memorize things. And if you just learn how to memorize, it's very a nice meditation. Another is to communicate. Take time to communicate with others. And write back, call back, take some time during the day to do that. Another is to think. How often do you get a chance during the day to think? Honestly, you can go 20 years without thinking. You can also go 20 years without communicating. Some spouses live together and they don't talk. They just go back and forth. They never have a meaningful conversation for 20, 30 years. Some people don't talk to their kids. Really talk to them. Take time to communicate. Take time to think. It's one of the most important things that we do. Lord Brahma at the beginning of the universe, that's what he did. He sat down, let me think this over. how to figure out who I am, where I came from. And if you think, take time to think, it's amazing what comes out. And one of the ways you can do it is get a legal pad from your local Office Depot and a pen, like the one I have right here, and just sit down, close all the doors, shut off everything else, and sit there with your pad and just put a question to your mind and just say, what's important to you? What do you want to do with your life? Think about it for 5 minutes or better, an hour, and you will be amazed how your life will change if you just take time to think. We don't get time to think. We're tortured in this world because we're pushed along and we don't get the opportunity to really think about who we are, what we are, and where we're going. So think. The next is to meet. You have to meet with people. Get together with them one-on-one. Take the time to see them, actually connect with them, because magical things come from meeting. Another is to plan. There's a saying Ogmandino gave many years ago, I picked up from one of his books that I really like, which is never greet the dawn without a map. And all production, high productivity experts will say, if you take time to plan before you act, you'll save yourself hours, weeks, months, years by this planning process. Plan. Another is to organize. A mantra that goes with organizing is a place for everything and everything in its place. And that's a constant endeavor to do that. But it's worth taking time every day to say, how can I be more organized? Where can I put everything? How can I put everything in its place or find a place for everything that I have? Next is to monitor. And that's to check your progress. How are you doing with all the things that you're doing in your life? And next is to exercise. The body is a very complex machine. And all the studies in the world nowadays show that you have to exercise to make it work right. You can't just sit around and expect to be healthy the rest of your life. You have to get out and walk. You have to get out and move your arms and make the machine go. Otherwise, it'll fall apart prematurely, and you'll be really sorry about that. And so will we. The next is to eat healthy. Eat healthy. Be careful what you eat because your diet is really important. You are what you eat. And if you're careful about your diet, then you'll be right in your mind and also in your body. Next is take time to play. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates used to go down to the bathing ghat and they would fight. They would ride on each other's shoulders, even the great scholars. And they would splash water at each other, and they would yell, and they would call each other ill names, and they had fun. You got to have fun in life. And take time to do that. Go for a hike with your friend. Go out to see the sunset. Do something, but get out and have some fun. And the next one is to laugh. You got to take time to laugh. Krishna used to laugh at a lot of things. He made all kinds of jokes with his friends. Prabhupada used to laugh and joke. So take the lighter side. Not all the time, but sometimes at appropriate times. Learn to laugh. Another is to contribute. When you're planning how to contribute to others, how to give, then your mind feels satisfied. That's one of the ways to get satisfaction in life, is to contribute and think how you can contribute. And consult with mentors. I talked about this before, about you should collect mentors. You should consult your mentors, because the world's too complex to figure out all by ourselves. We need mentors. We need lots of them. So figure out who are your top mentors and keep in touch with them. Keep an open line so that they can help guide you through all the different tribulations of life and the jubilations. And then finally, invest in relationships. It's very important. I heard today from several of the presentations, especially Shraddha's, she was talking about how important it is to invest in people, in your relationship with them, your friendships, and so forth. If you take time for them, then your life will become very rewarding. And charity starts at home. You have to invest in the relationships that you already have close at hand, the relationships you have with the devotees. There's a concept Stephen Covey gives about the emotional bank account. Did you know that you have a bank account in your heart? Everyone does. And you can make a deposit in the bank account that people carry in their hearts emotionally. You can go out of your way for them to make a deposit. And what happens if you keep depositing? What do you get? You get interest too, eh? That's pretty good. Invest over here. It's a good one to invest in. You get interest, you get a surplus, you begin to build up a nice balance and compounded interest. It's very powerful. This is what strong relationships are about, investment. And if you have to make a withdrawal, has anybody had this experience? You ever had to make a withdrawal in a relationship? Yes? So don't get overdrawn. If you haven't made a contribution in a long time, don't think about taking a draw from the bank, because it will damage the relationship. You'll have penalties to pay. But if you continually are giving, in the inevitable time when you have to take something back, or you mistakenly say something that is inappropriate in your relationship, then you can withstand that because you have a sufficient balance. These are, in summary, ways in which I stay focused on what's important to me, what goes in my resume, and looking at my, in other ways, my life and what I do and what I would like not to do. And there's another section on here called Bad Habits, and I'm not reading them to you. I'm not that vulnerable. There are ways in which it's hard even to admit to myself that I have these. It's hard to write them. It's like, oh, that and this and that. And then what if this list gets out somehow? It's embarrassing. But actually, it's important to fix your resume. What is it that you want to fix? What is it you want to add to your life? Take time to figure it out and create a masterpiece resume for your life. And give yourself to this process of Krishna consciousness especially. Last points about what's very important to Krishna are given by Srila Prabhupada in one of his purports, where he describes daksha's prayers and the Lord answering them. And he says, does Srila Prabhupada, and here's the formula, FTIG. He gives these four action verbs for things that you can do that make you very dear to Krishna. You ready? Yeah. Follow the previous acharyas. try to benefit conditioned souls. Induce the conditioned souls to become Krishna conscious and give them all facilities to become Krishna consciousness. Follow, try, induce, and give. These all relate to the process that you've been engaged in over the weekend, those of you here for the seminar, which is the active process of organizing around the principle of giving mercy to others and showing compassion. And that's the best thing that you can put on your resume. As Krishna says at the end of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, no one is more dear to me than the person that invests in this. So I congratulate all of you for taking your time this weekend to learn about Sankirtan, about book distribution. And we've gained so much by having you here. We deeply appreciate you coming all this way. It's really touched our hearts. We feel more connected to you now. And we look forward to working together in North America to increase the Sankirtan and book distribution to the level that will be acceptable, which is much, much bigger than it is now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. We had a comment from the internet we'd like to hear. Yes?
So, Maharaj, your list has reached Hawaii also.
Hawaii?
Yeah. And it's Bhaktin Bella Katz from Valamanto, Hawaii. She says, thank you for the list.
Thanks for joining us from Hawaii. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, now we'll take three reflections and then we're going to chant some japa together. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I was reflecting on the resume analogy, and I was thinking that when you're trying to get a job, you can keep calling the company, and that's kind of what we're doing when we're chanting. We're just saying, please give me a chance, engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Keep putting it out there, right? You do have to put out quite a few, yeah?
To always think whatever happens in this world is Krishna's mercy.
Yeah. That's from the Bhagavatam. A few more?
Prabhuji, I like the list you had, you know, made me thinking, and the point was thinking, like, you know, with the type of passion of lifestyle that many of us are living, it becomes very mechanical, we do everything, but sometimes, you know, the very idea of thinking, what do you want to achieve in life, that's missing, you're spending some quality time, so, you know, it's a good awakening and a good point. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Manoj, I like the point that you given the whole list, and also you encourage us, like, it knowing our condition, that it may be not possible to do everything, but everything you can start by even putting just 1 minute. Just you put 1 minute in every category, and that is always possible. Maybe not like complete, and that encourages us to go to next level. Thank you.
Yeah, it may not be possible every day, but you know, our life also moves in sort of an organic way, and we can't always just box everything in to very specific categories. So we also have to be flexible. But if we have clearly in front of us what the goals are, and we're also working on improving and giving up bad habits and so forth, we'll feel very happy and fulfilled. So now we're going to try an experiment in consciousness, which is to connect directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his sacred names. And the three names that we will connect with by repeating them are the following. Hare,
Hare.
Krishna,
Krishna.
Rama.
Rama.
These are three very intimate names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained how all of the energies of the Lord and the personality of the Lord are present in these names. And then Rupa Goswami explains that when the names are presented to us in a mantra, it's actually what he calls the supreme combination of syllables, paramaksharakrite. The supreme combination of syllables means that God appears in the form of a mantra. He's actually personally present there. Iti murtyabhidhanena mantra murtam amurtikam. Yajite yajya purusham sasam yag darshana puman. The complete darshan of Krishna can be had through the mantra, says Narada Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's not difficult, he says. Mantra murtam amurtikam means what's usually very difficult becomes not difficult, amurtikam, because of the presence of the mantra. So please take care of one another, and anyone else you meet, try to give them Krishna consciousness wherever you go, and keep the vibration going. Figure out a way to organize your life around this principle. It was taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is authorized. If you chant Hare Krishna, your life will become sublime and happy, and you will go back to home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.